Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. You may have heard the phrase, this could have been an email, referring to the frustration we feel when an in-person work meeting could have just been a simple and much shorter message. Those who are lucky enough to still be working during the pandemic and are able to work from home safely are now realizing that a lot of things we did around the office for our jobs could have been done remotely, and that much of the office maybe could have been an email. As Illinois continues on its path of easing coronavirus restrictions and reopening businesses, more workers are being asked to return to the office. But what if you've grown to like working from home? Maybe you're comfortable working in yoga pants, or you've developed a newfound appreciation for commutes that drop from 30 minutes to 30 seconds. Back in May, I spoke with two academic experts on the subject of work. Heidi Baumann is a professor of management and leadership at Bradley University. Her research focuses on work-family interface and employee performance management and development. She says whether we enjoy working from home right now may depend a lot on our working personality. And also with us was Professor Pettis Kent. He teaches at the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University Chicago and worked on developing and managing supply chains for Procter & Gamble Company for over a decade. He researches knowledge management and operations and policies, among other topics. So here is that conversation from May. Professor Kent, Professor Baumann, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Professor Baumann, I want to begin with you. Whether or not we have enjoyed working from home in recent months may come down to a category that we fall into. And for the purposes of our discussion today, I understand there are two broad categories. Can you describe those two groups for us?
Yeah, so people have talked a lot about how introverted or extroverted you are mattering for whether you're enjoying this work from home time. But in the work-life literature, we talk about a category, or maybe even more so, a continuum of how much you like to integrate your work in your personal life versus how much you like to segment your work in your personal life. And so people who are strong integrators and really prefer that, maybe in really enjoying this time, they are very comfortable blending work and personal life. They're happy to switch back and forth. People who are stronger segmenters prefer to have some physical and also just some mental boundaries set up. And so they might, on a busy work day, prefer to spend the time needed in the office, and then once they come home, truly be at home and away from work.
So integrators, I guess, is the stereotypical, like, checks the smartphone first thing in the morning and maybe at night and responding to emails at all hours, whereas the integrator shuts it off and waits until the next morning.
That's right. So integrators are going to be switching back and forth throughout the day, both mentally and possibly physically. And then segmenters prefer those distinct and separate times. Although even people who are high integrators right now are experiencing just an extreme amount of blurring between these lines. So everybody probably needs a little bit of boundary management, regardless of their preferences on this continuum.
Yes, my kids could burst into the room at any time, as I've
said. Same here.
So, can I ask you, Professor Baumann, are you a segmenter or an integrator?
So I actually prefer to integrate to a pretty high degree, although, like I said, this has been an extreme amount of integration. And so there's still a need to find some times from being interrupted by children and other childcare responsibilities that are just making this time extra challenging right now.
And Professor Kent, this may be, I don't know, a personal place to start, but I wonder, are you a segmenter or an integrator as you listen to this conversation?
You know, I think I'm an integrator too, but like Heidi said, I do feel like this has really challenged this idea around how much I want to integrate, because I do like to have kind of my time at work and my time in the office with students interfacing, and then also my time at home with my son. So yeah, I think I'm more integrator, but this has definitely been an interesting time.
Yeah, I guess integrating is one thing when you have a choice about it. And yeah, okay. So Professor Kent, I wonder, do you think that companies are waking up to this idea that some jobs, you know, can be done from home that maybe in the past they had never considered having remote employees do that sort of thing?
I think so. I mean, when I was at Procter & Gamble, there were many times, especially in the mid-aughts, where either new mothers or new fathers may choose to work one day at home or what have you. And it was almost, they were looked down upon. And because it was like, okay, we all have family. Why aren't you working 5 days a week? But now I think this has opened the firm's mind to the idea that we can be productive from home. And especially if you look at certain fields, like the field that Heidi and I are in, and being service providers from an education standpoint, at least at the college level, we have the technology to be able to still be effective, even if we like to interface with our students and other coworkers. We have technology like Zoom and like other things that we have implemented over the years that have allowed us to be more productive. And so I do think going forward, firms will say, okay, does this job really need to involve people in the office, or can they be productive remotely?
And Professor Bauman, what about you? Have you seen that stigma around telecommuting until now? Is that possibly changing in the pandemic?
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. And so there have been noted that one of the biggest reasons people are hesitant to telecommute, even when there's a set policy at their organization, is because there could be some career backlash for them in terms of promotion and advancement. And so one of the big positives out of COVID-19, and there's not a lot of them, is that this is becoming the norm. So research shows when telecommuting is more of a norm in an organization, it's accepted and more common, then that career backlash is eliminated and people see a lot more of the benefits.
I'm Brian Mackey. This is the 21st, and we're talking about how working from home has changed our relationship with the office. We are speaking with Heidi Bauman, a professor of management and leadership at Bradley University, and Pettis Kent, a professor at the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University. Professor Bauman, there's also this concept of spillover, and I think you were sort of alluding to this when you were talking about integrating, but there's this idea of, working from home, our family and life and work life kind of spill into each other. Can you talk about some of the advantages and disadvantages to this idea of spillover?
Yeah, absolutely. So we see both negative spillover. So that's when you would have some stress and strain in one area, such as your personal life, that comes into your work. You're perhaps psychologically preoccupied with that stress while you're trying to work. Or even behaviorally, I think this is a challenge right now where there's different behavioral expectations for interacting with family members, perhaps being very compassionate. And then at this time, we're expected to go on to a Zoom meeting immediately and have that kind of command and control of the virtual room. So those things can be kind of negative spillover. At the same time, a lot of my research is focused on the positive spillover. So we're having new opportunities now to perhaps have lunch with our family. Our kids might say something funny, put us in a good mood, and then we can carry over that positive energy into the meetings throughout the rest of the day. So what you're looking to do here is use some boundary management techniques to try to eliminate a little bit of the negative stress and spillover that occurs, and also capitalize on some of this work-home enrichment or positive spillover.
Well, you mentioned boundary management techniques. What is that? And do you have any other strategies to try and manage that spillover?
Yeah, there's a couple great suggestions. So even if you're a strong integrator, and certainly if you're a segmenter, can there be opportunities for physical or even psychological separation? So can you find a little space that is your workspace right now that is really defined as where you do your work? Or can you even separate the technology tools you might use? So video conference on Zoom with work, and then maybe use a different tool for family, different email accounts, so that you're able to not see that impending work deadline when you're trying to enjoy some time with personal contacts. So those are little things. Also, can you come up with even a small transition period? I think most of us are pretty excited about not having to commute to work. At the same time, there's some really good transition time that occurs during a commute. So even a walk around the block or kind of wrapping up your day with documenting your to-dos for tomorrow might allow you to park that and transition to your other role.
Yeah, I never knew there was advantages to the commute, but even my yeah. relatively short commute here in central Illinois, I definitely feel the absence of it right now. Professor Pettis Kent from Loyola University, you study knowledge management. That's one of your areas of academic interest. I wonder if you find that there are some advantages for companies to maybe integrate more work from home days into their standard processes.
Right. So, you know, if we think about knowledge management, it's this idea around how do firms effectively create, transfer, and retain knowledge between people, between different locations within the organization. And so knowledge is typically stored in, they say, members, tools, and tasks. So people, technology, and routines. And so now I think both service organizations and manufacturing organizations have had to rethink of how they store their knowledge. If they don't have easy access to each other in terms of the people in the organization, they may have to codify this knowledge in a more regimented way, perhaps through standard operating procedures or technology that is storing this knowledge so that it can be easily accessible from remote locations. I think this is easier said than done when you're dealing with certain types of service jobs like the legal field, say accounting, that type of thing. I think it's a little harder to do if it's a more intimate service organization like food service or healthcare field. And so I do think through this pandemic, firms are having to rethink how do we, you know, keep our efficiency? How do we still maintain high performance if we don't have access to each other face to face? And so I think in that respect, it's a good thing because the more adaptable we are as organizations, I think the better we'll be able to adapt in the future.
And what about the flip side of that? I mean, do we lose something by not having that FaceTime in the office?
For sure, because what we've seen in knowledge management research is that we can't completely codify our knowledge base. We have what's called explicit knowledge, which is codifying the knowledge, have it written down. And then we have tacit knowledge. That tacit knowledge is also called tribal knowledge, where you see someone in the hallway and you exchange ideas, or it evokes some great step forward on something that you talked about in a meeting. Some of that goes away when we're on Zoom calls or Zoom conference calls, because in those calls you typically just stick to the script and you handle the agenda and then you log off. So we will have to find a way to still be creative, still bring about some of that tacit knowledge, even remotely. So yeah, there's definitely a shift that's going to have to occur if we're going to remain competitive, remain effective, et cetera.
Yeah. And only a few minutes left in our conversation. Professor Bauman, I saw this funny tweet not long ago that, and I'm sorry, I can't remember where I saw it, but it basically said something like that revelation you feel like you're having about that you could have been doing your job from home most of this time. Like, companies have known that for a long time. They just didn't want to let people do that. And I wonder if you think that managers after this pandemic will be more willing to allow people to work from home in the future.
I see that both in the short term and in the long term. In the short term, of course, we see that even as companies are going to have employees returning to work, there's going to be things like capacity limits that they have to deal with, and also contact tracing. As that continues to advance, people may recognize that even though they're feeling healthy, that they've had contact with someone who's tested positive for COVID-19. And so I hope that organizations continue to see, and I think that they will, working from home as a great tool for being able to meet the needs of individuals and the employer. We're going to see a lot of decision-making happen, and we always have in telecommuting, at frontline supervisors and managers. So to the degree that organizations can equip them with ideas about the standards that are to be used. And then that frontline manager is going to have to work with the individual employee going forward. And that's where we see a lot of benefits come to both sides, employees and employers. But again, I think that we've just reduced a lot of stigma by testing this out and seeing that productivity can increase. And we know that links with job satisfaction tend to be positive, as well as job performance. I also think we might see a limited use of it. So it's not an all or nothing proposition. We know that some of these outcomes are actually maximized with partial telecommuting, say 2 days a week. And I think that might be a great option for a lot of companies.
Interesting. Well, only about a minute left in our conversation, but Professor Kent, I understand you're presenting a webinar soon at Loyola about responsible reopening. I wonder, what do you think are the ethical obligations of companies as they look at reopening, especially since in some states, the urge to return to some sense of normalcy has outpaced the advice of public health experts?
Sure. You know, I think there's definitely going to be a responsibility for both manufacturing and service firms to think about both their employees as well as their customers. Now, in manufacturing, typically they're in a manufacturing operation, they're not as exposed to their customers. And so they have to focus on creating new standard operating procedures to keep their employees healthy. But in a service organization like, again, food service or hospitality, I teach a service operations class, and I always talk about how service operations is so hard to deliver because it's hard to separate the employee and the service that you're giving the customer because they're intertwined. And so how do these firms come up with new procedures to protect both the employee and the customer is going to be the challenge. And it's definitely an ethical consideration that they have to consider, not to just think about the financial benefit.
I'm afraid we have to leave it there. That was Pettis Kent from the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University. And we also spoke with Heidi Bowman, Professor of Management and Leadership at Bradley. Thank you both for joining us. More to come after a short break. This is The 21st. Stay with us.